Hello and good morning. Had a few technical difficulties there, but I think we're okay. It's great to be with everyone this morning. I actually want to start off with telling a bit of a story this morning. So in high school, I used to be a pretty good runner. I ran on the cross country team. I ranked fairly high for my age group. I think I came in first place once in a race. And as well, I made the provincial finals at one point. So I was often one of the fastest players, like on my sports teams I played on and things like that, in high school. So I want to fast forward a bunch of years, and I've told the story to our youth group, but today I'm telling it to you. So Leticia, my wife, and I, we were missionaries in Haiti from 2011 till 2014. And when I was there, I was invited to go run in a Sean Penn funded half marathon, which is about, I think, around 21 kilometers or so. And it was in the capital of Haiti, which is Port-au-Prince. And well, I was actually invited the day before to go run this race. Okay, so the day before, so I accepted the invitation and I took a 6-hour drive over Switchback Mountains, which was like terrifying, down to Port-au-Prince for this race. And I should mention that though I was pretty active at this time, I had not even run like a 3-kilometer run in a long, long time. So anyways, I thought to myself, I'm naturally a good runner. I always have been. I'll be fine. And so the race ended up being full of like some very, very fast, fit people when I got there. And actually, as the race began, I was doing pretty good. Like, I started off at a decent pace. I should mention, by the way, that this race, it looked very official off the start. They had, you know, the police cars blocking traffic. They had, you know, all the signs, and it looked very official. And then after like a kilometer or so, all that stuff disappeared. So no more police cars, no more markings telling you where to go. I'm in a city I've never, well, I was maybe once or twice, but I didn't know very well. And so actually some people at that point started cheating and I saw a few jump on motorcycles and drive ahead, but that's a whole nother thing. So I just kept running along and I was slowing down. And the group that I was trying to keep up with that was just ahead of me were getting further and further away until they disappeared. And there are no markings in town, and here I am running in the city, now on a highway, behind public transport vehicles who are blowing diesel in my face. So that's where I was at. I finally ended up getting lost. And so I asked some local people on the side of the road. I said, hey, like, which way to this town? Because I knew which town it was, the finish line was in, and they pointed me in the opposite direction. And so I ended up running a kilometer or two down this like side road, ended up in a rural village. And what I ended up doing was turning around, following my steps back, ended up by accident pretty much finding the finish line as they were dismantling the finish line. My friends were starting to get worried. They were ready to send out a search party looking for me. But I got there, but the problem was I came in last place. Last place. So here I am, this guy who used to be the fast guy. Oh, I should mention, by the way, I didn't even have running shoes this whole race. I only had Merrell hiking shoes, okay? So I had 21 kilometers plus the extra kilometers in hiking shoes. I was slow, I was sore, I lost my big toenail along the race. It was brutal. And basically at the end of this whole thing, I thought I was the fast guy and I ended up being the slow, the sore, the lost guy. Even when we think we have it, sometimes we just don't. And I'll say that again, because that's kind of our theme for today. Even when we think we have it, sometimes we just don't. And this is where we're going this morning, because we are talking about humility. So to start today, I want to say that I do not have this concept of humility all figured out in my own life, or have all the answers on this topic. Which may be a funny thing to say before teaching on it, but I just wanted to be upfront. I can actually argue that if I said I did, it might be a kind of prideful thing to say. So I do want to say that this is a very important topic for each one of us, though, and for the church in general to examine. I also challenge you on this today. I invite everyone to examine only yourself this morning. This message is not one that you need to bookmark for somebody else later on in your life. This message today is for you, no one else. So before we go any further, I'm going to tell you guys another story. And this one actually is a parable found in Luke 18, starting at verse 9. Luke 18, verse 9. If you want to turn there, I think it'll be on the screen as well. So it says this: to some who were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but he beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." I'll say that last one again. "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." So this is straight from the lips of Jesus himself. And actually not the only time in Scripture that he says those words, especially that last verse. And see, sometimes we think we are kind of here in our abilities as Jesus followers. Maybe we think we've been a really good Christian, or I have the right beliefs and doctrines. I follow the rules. I go to church. I serve people. I'm constantly in communion with God. But I think it's good to do a self-check every now and again and see where we really stand up using the assessment of humility. Because maybe we want to be just a little bit lower. See, humility is a kingdom of God principle. And it's so much one that's wrapped up even in Jesus' very identity. In Matthew 11, verse 29, it says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart." Gentle and humble in heart. And humility is about not seeing ourselves as the most important or that we have it all figured out. But it also is that we're not relying on ourselves either. But we're being reliant on God. See, that could be in our decisions, in our purpose, in our relationships, in having the answers, and maybe everything else in between. See, we have Jesus, and he's this guy that as Jesus followers, we're working through the Holy Spirit to become like more and more each day. And he showed us a template on how to act. So let's look at the life of Jesus. And I'm just going to kind of give some general statements here. And one is, he was never too good to be with anyone. He took time for the sick, the poor, the broken, the wrong, the right, the weird, the religious, the non-religious. He didn't force his agenda down people's throats, but he had conversations. He asked questions, provided invitations for people to follow him, and excluded no one if they accepted. He didn't show off and prove himself, like all the way to being brutally killed on a cross. People were mocking him, telling him to call down legions of angels. He had all the power and didn't exercise it because he had total submission to God. This humility to run the race well. So we follow Jesus. And while we're doing this, God uses this thing called the church. And church is this beautiful thing, coming together as a community, as a family, seeking God, seeking Jesus together. But it's made up of broken people like me and like you. Not perfect or even that great of people. We are messy people seeking this Jesus in the midst of our messiness, trying to figure it all out. And as we're figuring it out, sometimes leaders are exalted so high that they fall. Sometimes we hurt each other by saying the wrong thing or taking offense to something. Sometimes we judge people or other groups of believers, i.e. other churches. Sometimes we choose not to listen and even excommunicate people from our personal lives, or just judge and label people from our lives simply because we disagree with maybe their opinions, politics, doctrine, religion, stance on a pandemic, a pile of other reasons. We are broken people with flaws and often blind spots in our own lives. But here's the good news. That's okay. That's okay. It's okay to be messy. Where we get caught is in the midst of this brokenness is when we think we have it all figured out and forget to work on ourselves, like perhaps this Pharisee in the parable. When we forget that we need to submit to our messy selves to God because we just don't have it, especially if we think we do. God is looking for humility because it breeds unity with our brothers and our sisters. And I've heard the comment, church doesn't look much different than the rest of the world, or sometimes worse because we're so disjointed, and when we are just disjointed, that's when the ugliest of ugly things shows up to the party. Pride. Pride finds its comfy little place in our midst. And see, pride is the sneaky thing. When we explore the pride and explore the word pride in the Bible, it means things such as arrogance, insensitivity to the needs of others, feeling someone is not worthy of our respect, presuming things about one another. See, pride is this thing where it's both a posture or an attitude, but as well how we end up conducting ourselves. And pride puts a divide between us and others. If we fill our head with pride, like in the example of the Pharisee in the parable, we begin to compare and look down at people in our midst, and we slowly build a wall. They are wrong because I am right. Or maybe they are not as good as me, therefore not as valuable or useful. They are not as smart as me, not as important as me, not as kind as me, not as skilled as me, not as righteous or caring or efficient or responsible or friendly. The list goes on. And the wall gets higher. But pride does not only put a divide between us and others, but also between us and God. Pride is like, it's so far from the mindset of Christ. Do you know actually multiple times in the Bible, it says that God opposes the proud. In James 4:6, it says God works through the humble and opposes the proud. Peter 5:5, clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Wow, so if you're being prideful, God is in opposition to you. It's kind of a scary thing. Let that sink in. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in opposition to God. I much, much rather have that grace part. So why does God oppose the proud? I think it's because pride is changing focus from loving God and loving others, which are the two commands Jesus gives us, and puts it more on exalting and caring for ourselves. It takes us away from doing the things we were ultimately created to do. So, humility. See, while I was looking up definitions of humility, I came across one definition that I just felt I had to share as well, and it came up as the freedom from pride or arrogance. Like, it's not a full definition, but I love to start there. See, it doesn't say the opposite of pride or not pride, but rather the freedom, like the release from a subjection or even the captivity of that word pride. Being stuck in this cycle, in this rat race, trying to one-up each other, or feeling like we have to have it all together on our own, that we have to enforce some sort of standard that perhaps we think we have perhaps mastered in our own life. It's actually freeing to let go of pride and choose humility. Like, think of the benefits of humility. Like, God uses you and gives grace to you. Think of the benefits. God uses you and gives grace to you. Like, think of the heroes of the faith where this happens, where the people came from humble beginnings, such as Abraham, an old man whose offspring were chosen by God himself, or Joseph, a prisoner and hated by his brothers, the second in command in Egypt, or David, the youngest in the line of a non-prestigious family to become king, the apostles, who are basically just a ragtag bunch of fishermen and tax collectors and alike, and even Jesus, like born to a non-prestigious family in a barn. The list goes on. Another benefit, you are more like Christ. And isn't that the point of being a Jesus follower? You're more like Christ. It almost seems silly that people in church want to be seen and to fight for power and control. It's just the opposite of Jesus. Like, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me in Luke 9. He didn't say, hit people on the side of the head with your cross if they don't agree with you, or push people out of the way with your cross if they're in the way, or shake your cross at people who don't meet your self-appointed standard, or take your cross and force people to carry the burden God has placed on your heart. No. Submit to the point where it hurts, for the greatest is the one who serves, it says in Luke 22, verse 26. Submit to the point where it hurts, for the greatest is the one who serves. How much better is it to be with someone who gives instead of takes? Like, not everyone will like you still, but I would guess a humble person is easier to get along with than a proud person. Now, I'll list a few other benefits. You experience freedom from not having to have it all together. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to be perfect or put on some show with your life. You just need to humbly submit to God and let him work through you. This is important, from a place of rest. Let him work through you from a place of rest. And finally, somehow, some way in all of this, God exalts you. God exalts you, which just gives you another chance to practice humility all over again. So how do we practice this important thing called humility? So the first thing I have is admitting we don't have it all together. And we don't have all the answers. Like me running. Even when we think we have it, we sometimes just don't. The next one is being open to teachable words and moments in our lives. Humiliating moments are the worst, like absolutely the worst. I've had a number of them, but in those moments, we learn a lot. But it's also being open to just having conversations, to listening to one another, keeping an open mind so we can still learn and be teachable. The next one is value everyone. Value everyone. Because maybe someone has something to teach you you weren't expecting. I remember, if we went back to my stories in Haiti, there was actually a groundskeeper that I used to work with, and his name was, well, we called him Brother Ben. And he was the sole income earner for a family of, I don't know, 12, give or take. He was uneducated, unwealthy, simple in his ways. He taught me so much, though. Kindness, humility, generosity, and so much more. If I had written him off as simply a poor, uneducated man, it would have been foolish, for he, I had felt more to teach and give than I had to offer. For you, this might even mean someone who has different political views, religious views, cultural upbringing, personality that you don't work well with, maybe. Maybe a different social status. Keep your mind open to seeing people as God sees them. Value everyone. Next, give it up to God. It's time to realize God does have it figured out, and some things you just won't ever. Lean into that. Like, lean into that hard. Every time. Practice and practice, because it is not easy. But work on building that habit with little things. Giving them up daily to God. Daily. The next one I have. It's okay to be wrong. It's okay to be wrong. No one is always right, and that's okay. When we're teachable, it gives us chances to humbly learn and grow. And finally, the last point I have here is ask God to show you areas of pride in your life. And ask for forgiveness and start today in living in that posture of humility. And love for others from a place of humility and rest. So I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to invite the worship team back up. So why don't you join with me? God, we submit to you this morning. And we submit again 5 minutes from now, and again and again. We don't have life figured out apart from you. Like, how could we, God? God, teach us to love on the ones we disagree with, to be teachable, to listen, to be open to conversations, to change our mindset, to see everyone as beautiful, God. We choose to submit to you and live humbly. So God, search our hearts for any pride we have and release us from its captivity. And help us live more and more like you, Jesus, as humble brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you, God. Amen.